Okay, good evening, everybody. Lechtige Chanukah to all, and a Chodesh Tov to all. Tonight we lit the seventh Chanukah Lecht. Time goes. And here we are counting down. First, we were counting up towards Chanukah. Now we're counting down towards Chanukah. And two more days of the Seilig Yantif. This learning should be as Chus Aliyah Neshama from Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak Allah Hashem. Miriam Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of the Torah learning that we share this evening, the Ezra Sashem. So, seeing how interesting it is, if you look out the window, there's a lot of snow and it's coming down quickly. And it used to be last year, if this was the weather, we would have to cancel Shir. And Baruch Hashem, Zoom has opened up a whole new world. And there isn't even a suffix that we need to cancel our learning because we're learning in person. Hold on, yeah?
Not now, it used to be.
So I once again decided to prepare a Chanukah-themed shir, given that it's Chanukah and in Yoni Diyoma, but it also relates the topic of tonight's shir very much to our learning, as you will see in the Sefer, as we all try and better ourselves and come closer, really, to the Ribbono Shel Olam and strengthen our Emunah. So I'm going to begin by quoting from a Sefer that someone, my thanks to Selma Dickman for just sending me this new Sefer, or it's new for me, Nesivo Shalom on the Torah, a collection of his classic essays on the weekly Parsha by Rabbi Shalom Noach Berezovsky. Okay, it's a Nesivo Shalom on the Torah. So I'm actually quoting from Parsha's Miketz. He begins this Sicha quoting a Pasuk from Miketz, actually the beginning of Parsha's Miketz. Vayihi Miketz Shnasayim Yamim Uparu Choleim Chalam. It is at the end of exactly 2 years to the day, and Paro has a dream. So the Medrash in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah expounds on this verse. Vayihi Miketz Shnasayim Yamim. So the Medrash expounds with a verse from Eov. The verse from Eov is from Eov 28:3. Ketz Sam Lachusha. Hashem has put a limit on darkness. There is a limit to the gloom, even Ophel Vitzalmavis, to the gloom and the darkness, there is a limit. Kate Sam Lachoshach. So the Medrash connects that Pasuk from Iyov, Chavchas, Pasuk Gimel, to this Pasuk in our parasha, Vayhi Miketz Shnasayim Yamim. And the Nesivo Shalom teaches, Hashem allotted a certain number of years for the world to endure darkness. When will Hashem put an end to the darkness? That's what we say at the end of Ma'asur, Ki Archalanu HaYeshua Ve'en Kates. The Yemeha'ah, the Yeshua seems so long in coming. There is no end to these bad days. Why will Hashem put an end to the darkness? As long as the evil inclination is in the world. So this year, yes, is a Chanukah year, but it's very much related to our learning together through the Sefer of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. When the evil inclination is in the world, there will be gloom and darkness. When the evil inclination will be uprooted from the world, there will be neither gloom nor darkness. The Medrash teaches us that all matters of darkness have their source in the Yetzer Hara, in the evil inclination, both for the Jewish people as a whole and for each individual. So the darkness that we face is sourced in everyone's individual Yetzer Hara. If a Jew is engulfed in darkness, the remedy is to uproot the Yetzer Hara, to withstand the tests that Hashem may bring upon him. So Yetzer Hara is the source, and the Nesivo Shalom teaches, of all darkness. And if he can uproot the Yetzer Hara, if he can withstand the test that Hashem places before him, his situation will turn around and darkness will end. For when the light shines on a Jew, there is no evil inclination. As long as the evil inclination is in the world, darkness is in the world. And the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, rules at a time of darkness. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tashas Choshech Vihi Laila. Actually, we just said this Kapitel Kuf Dalet in honor of Rosh Chodesh, 104:20. At a time of darkness, all the forces of evil and darkness rule. However, when the sun shines, they gather. When the light shines in a Jew and there's no evil inclination, when he sees the light, he sees the worthlessness of all matters of this world. So the HR prevents us from seeing the positivity in Torah, the positivity in Ruchnis, the positivity in Amunas Hashem. And it blinds us and we become cast into darkness. But when you see the light, you see the worthlessness of all matters of this world. The Medrash intends to teach the main goal of the evil inclination is to darken the eyes of the Jew so he cannot see the divine light. The Rebbes of Slonim have taught, oh, this is so interesting. You're going to love this. I told it over at the table the other day, I think, or just to my husband. I loved it. The Rebbes of Slonim, think about this when you say Tehillim tomorrow. We say in Tehillim, I mean, when you say halal tomorrow. Okay, so we say, Einayim lahem velo yiru, aznayim lahem velo yishmu, aflam velo yirichun, einayim lahem velo yiru. They have eyes, but they can't see. Aznayim lahem velo yishmu. This is from chapter 115. The halal that we say, the halal hagadol, is kuf yud gimel through kuf yud ches of Tehillim. Okay, so this is kuf tas vav. We say einayim lahem velo yiru. We think we're talking about the false gods, but the rabbis of Slotim interpret this differently. They have eyes, but they can't see. To teach that when people use their eyes, lahem, for worldly pleasures and desires, they cannot see the divine light. Einayim lahem velo yiru. If we keep our eyes focused on our bodily needs, on gashmius, on this world, einayim lahem velo yiru, we can't see Hashem. Aznayim lahem, when we use our ears to hear matters of this world, we can't hear the Ribono Shel Olam. Similarly, if people use their ears only for themselves, they will not hear the voice of Hashem. When the sun, I thought it was very, very unique Hasidic style interpretation of this pasuk from Tehillim that we say in Halal. Einayim lahem velo yiru. If I keep my eyes for myself only, but not for avodas Hashem, then I can't see Hashem. Excuse me, aznayim lahem. If I keep my ears only for matters of gashmis without focusing on listening to the voice of God, so lo yishmu, then I can't hear the Ribono Shel Olam in my life. When the sun shines and a Jew sees the light, there's no urge to do evil, but the evil inclination strives to damage the Jew, to darken his eyes, so he will not see the divine light. And again, this is the Sikh of Parshas Miketz. You join late, I'm quoting the Nesivo Shalom on the Torah. This was the intent of the Greeks, who darkened the eyes of the Jewish people. And so the only way to destroy the impurity of the Greeks, to banish the darkness of the Yetzer Hara, so which does not allow us to see Hashem, which does not allow us to hear Hashem, is by kindling a light. That's represented in the Chanukah Lech. That's that little bit of light that will overcome the Yetzer Hara, so that when we light it, we realize, Einayim Lahem, no, my eyes are not for me, for my bodily desires, for my personal wants. My eyes are to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Aznayim Lahem, my ears are not for me, because when I use them only for me, for the gashmis, for the shtusim, for the unimportant matters of this world, and lo yishmu, then I can't hear the voice of God. It becomes dampened out by matters I should not be hearing, by matters I should not be seeing. The only way to destroy the impurity of the Greeks and to banish the darkness is by kindling a light. When Hashem enables a Jew to have peace of mind and enlightenment, when he sees and recognizes the great King of Kings, the Holy One, standing over him, observing his actions, it protects him from the urge to do evil. The power of the evil inclination of the Yetzer Hara is only at a time when there is darkening of knowledge. So dark consistently here, the Slonim Rebbe is equating with the Yetzer Hara, and light is with the Yetzer HaTov, Dveikus, clarity, and that comes through the Chanukah Lecht. When we are darkened, when the Jewish people's eyes are darkened, and that's the power of the Yetzer Hara, and that is the power of the Greeks. And that, of course, is what we commemorate, this Yom Tov of Chanukah. I'm skipping, I'm not reading you the whole Sikha. The idea, I'm going all the way to the end actually, the idea of the Chanukah candles is to illuminate the divine light. The Sefer, the Bnei Yisachar, quotes from the Rokiach, he had a tradition from Eliyahu HaNavi, that the hidden light is revealed in the Chanukah candles, and actually we spoke about the hidden light last week. The Ramban explains in Baha Aloscha, the teaching of the sages, Hashem said to Aaron regarding the light of the menorah, yours will endure forever. This is a reference to the Chanukah candles. The Chanukah candles, he explains here a little bit further, are a continuation of the light of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And this light will endure to the ultimate redemption, to Yemos HaMashiach. So the Chanukah licht, I have one little out of our six menorahs. There's right now one little licht still burning, almost going down. So Chanukah derives its light from the light of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which in turn was derived from the hidden light, which in turn illuminates our eyes, our hearts, our neshama, and overcomes the darkness, the Yetzer Hara. Just as all forces of evil flee from the light of Shabbos, so too the Chanukah candles illuminate. And this spark of light illuminates the life of the Jew wherever he is. That spark, there's one little lich left, that spark of light illuminates the life of the Jew wherever he is. And you could say that means not wherever he is geographically, wherever he is spiritually, wherever you are, wherever you feel you are. The spark of light illuminates your life. And with this power, with this light, he can overcome all forces of evil. Just as a Jew concludes the Sicha, the Slonim Rebbe, the Siva Shalom on the Torah, just as a Jew can draw illumination of spirituality for the whole week from the illumination of Shabbos, so too Hanukkah is, quote, a once-a-year opportunity for a Jew to become illuminated with enough divine light to last throughout the year. Then Hashem will end the darkness. Then the evil inclination will be uprooted from the world. And how does he connect this two parshas Miketz? Vayihi Miketz Shnasayim Yomim. The first words of the parsha are derived by the Medrash saying Hashem placed a limit on darkness. So just like Yosef, whose story is always read on Chanukah, was in the dark, maybe not literally, but first his brother sold him, and then he was in the dark under the clutches of H.S. Potiphar, and then he was in the dark in jail for 12 years. And the darkness came to an end. There's a limit in darkness. And all of a sudden he was rushed from the pit, and he ascended to the highest echelons of power in Egypt. So too, our darkness will end, but we must combat that darkness by illuminating our lives. And what allows us to do that? The Chanukah Licht. And it's only the Yetzer Hara that causes us to be focused on the darkness. Think about it tomorrow. Einayim lahem velo yiru. If I use my eyes for things I should not be using them for, we have a concept called Shmiras Einayim lo yiru. How could I see the Ribbono Shel Olam? Aznayim lahem. If I listen to things I should not be listening to, then how can I hear the voice of God in my life? But if we can banish through the Chanukah Licht the power of darkness of the Yetzer Hara, then we can tap into that koach, says the Slonim Rebbe, for the whole year. Just like Shabbos illuminates the week, Chanukah illuminates the entire, no matter where you are. I don't think it means geographically. I think it means spiritually, wherever a Jew feels he is. Sometimes we become frustrated. Maybe not you, but me. I don't mean that sarcastically. Sometimes you feel making progress in your will to Hashem, and sometimes you feel the same inyan that you're working on. It's still a battle. It's still a struggle on how am I still here? And I'm like, gosh, I've been working on this for years. So Chanukah is the time to tap into the koach of light. Let it illuminate the whole year. So I'm now going to quote, okay, so this was, I showed you the Sefer, the Siva Shalom on the Torah, Feldheim. Let me see, is it new? Copyright 2019. Okay. So now I'm going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. I think two very different sources. But, you know, from learning with me, I sort of quote all over the map. I think pun is intended. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, in this very beautiful piece, and it's interesting because he talks about, this was said in 1960, and the topic of the drasha is called On Being Too Practical. On this last day of Chanukah, the second Shabbat Chanukah this year, so I guess in 1960 they had two Shabbos Chanukahs. On this last day of Chanukah, we direct our attention to a question concerning the entire festival. So in 1960, this drasha was presented as Chanukah was going out. And tonight, this year, is my last candle's going out, actually, literally. And it's Chanukah's really going out. Tonight we light the seventh candle. Tomorrow we light the eighth candle. V'zos Chanukah. The essence of the Chanukah is the end. So addressing the concept of the end of Chanukah, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam asks a question that concerns the entire festival. Why is it, and this is a very powerful piece, why is it that we make such a festive holiday filled with prayer and thanksgiving? We saw in the Gemara, maybe we saw in this class, I don't remember which class, Shabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis, that the Gemara concludes, L'shana Acheres, we saw like a month ago, by Rosh Chodesh Kislev in this class, L'shana Acheres Kavum V'asum Yomim Tovim B'Halal V'Hoda'ah. And Rashi says on the Gemara, Halal is the recitation of Halal, the Kros HaHalal, V'Hoda'ah, says Rashi on the Gemara, is to add Al Hanisim to the Hoda'ah, the Modim section, B'Halal, with praise, V'Hoda'ah, and thanks. Rashi and the Gemara says the Halal is the recitation of Halal HaGadol, Kapitel Kofir Gemel through Kofir Ches, and the Hoda'ah, the thanks, is to add Al Hanisim B'Mei Matis Yahu to our Hoda'ah section in Birkas HaMazon and in the Shemona Esrei. We specifically add the extra tefillah B'Mei Matis Yahu Al Hanisim, not in that order, during Modim, the section of Hoda'ah, and after No Dalacha. So Bahalo V'Hoda'ah. That's Rashi and the Gemara. So why is it, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, that we make such a festive holiday filled with prayer and thanksgiving, the lighting of the candles, the singing of the songs, for the cleansing and the purifying of the second temple, right? The Maccabim came in, the family of the Hashmonaim, they formed an army, and the whole temple, Kishnusu Yavanim Lahechal, Timu as Kalashmanim Shabbos Chaf Al Beis. When the Yavanim came into the Hechal, they defiled all the oils. Kshinatchum Beis Hashmonai Amanat Beis Hashmonai won. They found one pach shel shemen. We tell the same story in Bimim Badas Yo. They cleaned up the heichal. Very nice. And now we have a yontif. So we have a whole yontif, a whole festival, the 8 days. Prayer, thanksgiving, candlelighting, singing of songs for the cleansing and the purifying of the second temple. It's at the time of Bayashini, which was rededicated Chanukah. There was a Chanukat Habayis, Chanukas Habayis. They rededicated the temple, the Bayis. In the year 155 before the Common Era, so in 155 BCE, so that's about 200 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, they made a Chanukas Habayis, literally Chanukas Habayis. They rededicated the temple, and you have a whole celebration. And Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says we have no equivalent or comparable festival to celebrate the initial building of the first temple by King Shlomo. Hundreds of years earlier. If it's so significant that the temple is now pure and we can now serve Hashem, we're going to have fresh oil and they cleaned it up and they removed the Avodah Zarah. So it's wonderful. So why don't we have a festival to celebrate the building of Bayis Rishon in the time of Shlomo, hundreds of years later, earlier, what am I saying? Was not King Shlomo's first great campaign building the sanctuary, which his father, King David, had foreseen, at least as important as what seems a subsequent minor detail in the history of the Beis HaMikdash? Like, why is Hanukkah really so significant that we celebrate the Chanukah's Habayis that occurred in 155 before the Common Era as the focal point of celebration when it comes to Beis HaMikdash? Why don't we have a whole Yantif of 8 days for the Shmonas Yimei HaMiluim of the Mishkan, or of the first Beis HaMikdash, or of the second Beis HaMikdash? It's a good question. On the last day of Hanukkah, we should direct our attention to ask this question, says Rabbi Dr. Lab. 1960. 60 years ago? The answer lies in the difference. Listen carefully. The answer lies in the difference between building and rebuilding, between constructing and reconstructing, between dedicating and rededicating. And I said that I think not only is this a Hanukkah shiur, but it relates very much to our learning and what we are all striving to achieve as we learn together through these years in this shiur. The answer lies in the difference between building and rebuilding, between constructing and reconstructing, between dedicating and rededicating. When there is a new movement, a new campaign, a new idea, a new vision, anything that has with it the power of novelty, it's new, it's fresh, then it is almost assured of freshness, vigor, and enthusiasm by the participants. It's exciting. The decision to build something new is not a spiritually difficult achievement. People are interested. They invest themselves in building something new, and they're excited. Everyone is anxious. Everyone is aroused. Everyone is excited. The people involved in such a project generally move forward with a great surge of strength and spirit. So people are committed and involved, and they want to be involved in building something new because there's a sense of excitement when something is new. And you're going to see towards the end of the piece how he compares this to many different instances of our life where at the beginning of something, you're really excited. A little while later, it's not so exciting anymore. But the decision to rebuild, that is far more difficult. I think it speaks to us in this year particularly, because so much of what we're working on here is rebuilding ourselves. I hope that the people we were 5-6 years ago when we began this year, or at whatever point you joined, are not the same people spiritually. We are rebuilding something that we may not have even realized needed to be rebuilt. Increasing our munah, our dveikus, just our awareness that there's a Hashem in the world. Remember the mashal Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein tells it over. I think Rav Pesach Kuhn also tells it over of the boy who is sick And first he doesn't recognize his classmates. And then he doesn't recognize his brother. And ultimately his father comes into him and he doesn't even recognize his father. And the nimshal is, sometimes we become so removed from God, Rahmatan, so ensconced in the dark of the Yetzirah, like we began in the Siva Shalom. We may not even recognize Hashem. Einayim lahem v'lo yiru. If I'm using my eyes for my own purposes, how could I see God? As Naim lahem. If I'm using my ears for things I shouldn't be using it for, whether it's lashon hara or music I shouldn't be listening to, or audio on different devices that I shouldn't be hearing, or motzi shema or leitzanos or off-color jokes, so how could I hear God? Sometimes we don't even realize that we need rebuilding. But I think that's what we're really striving to do in this shir, to feel more connected, just to be aware that there's a God. Listen to him, hear him throughout the day, see him. So to build something new is not so hard because people are excited and invigorated and aroused and anxious for a new project. So it moves forward with a great surge of strength and spirit. But the decision to rebuild, that is far more difficult. To approach a pile of rubble and try to make it into a home. Patiently to pick up the pieces of the past and paste them together. To take the tattered ruins of a former majesty and somehow restore them. To patch together what time and circumstance have ravaged. For this, the masses have little enthusiasm, even less spirit, and no patience. And so, then King Shlomo took it upon himself to build a new Beis HaMikdash. It was a relatively easy enterprise. He was able to ride in the crest of popular appeal, mass sentiment. People were excited. They want to contribute. When Moshe built the Mishkan, there were so much donations, they had to put out the call in the camp. Stop bringing. There was so much. There was so much. I could still see the tiny, you know, when the wick is a little bit glowing red when it's not totally out yet. There was so much material that Moshe put out a call in the camp. Please stop donating. We have so much. There's dayam. There's enough. Vahoser. There's even extra than what we need. And it was only by nedava. They couldn't stop bringing. And something is new, it's comparatively an easy enterprise. Shlomo was able to ride on the crest of popular appeal and mass sentiment. But when many hundreds of years later, the Maccabim returned to a desecrated temple, to a sanctuary that was profaned, not only literally profaned by the Yevanim, but profaned in the eyes of the people. When they strove to restore its old eminence, the Beis HaMikdash, it was already an old story to the citizens of Jerusalem. When they had to reconsecrate Chanukah, a new consecration of what had been defiled, that was a great achievement of the people. They could not count on mass movement and popular sentiment. Their project required enormous vision, tremendous courage, vast inner resources, and iron conviction. Think of anyone who has been chozer b'teshuvah. They're in essence rebuilding themselves. And that should apply to all of us. By the way, halavai, we should all be chozerim b'teshuvah. Something in us has become destroyed spiritually. Something in us has been darkened by the Yetzer Hara. We began to use our eyes lahem, our ears lahem, af lahem, v'lo yirichun, yadein v'lo yimishun. And somehow, we have come off path. All of us. When we do a sin, basically we all need to be chozerim b'teshuvah. We all try to be Shomei Shabbos, Shomei Torah, Mitzvahs to the best of our ability, but l'maisa, we should all be Chozer B'Teshuvah. But to be Chozer B'Teshuvah means to rebuild something that has been destroyed. Sin defiles me. I defile myself when I sin. I'm Tomei. Maybe not halachically Tomei. Sometimes, yes, by the way. Maybe not halachically Tomei. And I have to rebuild. And that, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, requires enormous vision, tremendous courage, vast inner resources, and iron conviction. Hence, the reward of the Maccabim is greater than that of King Solomon, because their task was more heroic, because of the very nature in every task of rebuilding. Building, that's romantic. It's attractive. It's an enterprise of building. For the first time, everyone wants to be involved. You want your name on the building. You want your name on the plaque. You want your name over the Aron Kodesh. By the way, if you're zochet to have your name over an Aron Kodesh somewhere, kol kavod to you. No sarcasm. Tizku mitzvos l'maisim tovim. But it's exciting. And we celebrate Hanukkah in honor of the Maccabean achievement of rededication. While we have no comparable holiday commemorating King Solomon's achievement, you could say the same. We don't have a holiday commemorating. We don't have 8 days for the Shmonas Yimei Miluim of the Mishkan. So why don't we have 8 days? We should light candles. And for 8 days, we should sort of reenact what Moshe, all the Korbanos that he brought, and Aaron's Birkos Kohanim, and we should have a reenactment and remember it. By Nisan, by Rosh Chodesh, so we don't do that. By Yisrishon, there's no holiday. By Yisheni, there's no holiday. You learn about it, maybe if you learn through Tanakh, but you don't celebrate it. But the task of the Maccabim was more heroic. And so we celebrate Hanukkah in honor of the Maccabean achievement of rededication. We give historical reward for the zeal of undertaking a task which no doubt would have frightened weaker souls. You need to be a true gibor. Talk to us. Shmuel, could you see what the noise is in the kitchen, please? And ask them if they could please stop. We give historical reward for the zeal of undertaking a task which no doubt would have frightened weaker souls and dissuaded them. You have to be so strong to allow that light to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And we all know that Yavan is the descent from the small Yod to the longer Vav to the very long Nun. My son actually told that to our Torah over at the table 2 nights ago. I was so excited. Because it becomes so hard. You know, when you just fall to the level of the Yud, you could pick yourself up. When you fall to the level of the Vav, it's a little bit harder. When you fall all the way to the end or Nun, the Nun Sofis, Nafla, Losos, Tosif, Kum, Basula, Sisrael, then it's Taka, climb up Everest. Let's go back to Kedusha. Many would be dissuaded by the threat of faded glory, tired emotions, and secondhand sentiment. Rebuilding. The first time it was great. Now, the same old, we're bored. This is the story of the past. You're going to rebuild? This difference, and now Rabbi Dr. Lam gives a few examples of where you see this idea. But I hope as we've been, as by going through this, it's relevant to you in a personal way. I'm not insulting anyone. Chas v'shalom. I'm saying that it takes great courage of all of us to rededicate ourselves, to rebuild ourselves, because sin is destruction. The difference that we have noted between the Maccabean and the Solomonic ages, between the Maccabees and King Solomon, in other words, between rededication, rebuilding, and dedication and building, is evident in all phases of life. Take the young bar mitzvah boy. When he is first called to ascend the pulpit and recite the blessings over the Torah, no matter how poor his background, no matter how inadequate his education, I have no doubt, writes Rabbi Dr. Lam, that in the heart of any young bar mitzvah boy, with any sensitivity whatsoever, there is a stirring of idealism, of devotion, dedication, love of Torah and love of God. Or think of the first time your son or your grandson put on tefillin. That feeling of newness, that feeling of excitement, that feeling of tit chadesh, that feeling of wow, shechiyanu v'kiyimanu. But take that same young man, after a number of years have gone by, and he has gone the way of all Jewish teenage men. When you approach the same youngster, he's in high school, or perhaps college, or shortly thereafter, a decade after his bar mitzvah. How difficult it is to re-inspire him, rekindle in him the same love, the same devotion, the same idealism. Or take a young couple on the eve of their wedding. The love of a young man for his wife and vice versa on the wedding day is by all means genuine and authentic, or they would not be standing under the chuppah. The romance of life is very real in their lives. But that same couple, Fanny, my husband and I, Baruch Hashem, got engaged on the 8th night of Hanukkah. But that same couple, after a number of years have gone by, life has become stale and routinized. It is so difficult to recapture the spark of that old first love. Or take, for that matter, and keep in mind this was said in 1960, okay? Or take, for that matter, the spirit that all of us felt in May of 1948, when the state of Israel was established. Especially it's 1960, I come from four Holocaust survivors. My grandfather wrote in his memoirs on the barracks, we were on the barracks after a hard day of slave labor. And we talked about the Nazis, that they were sent by God, the wicked murderers. And we said, whoever survives this Gehenna will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this Gehenna will live to see Mashiach. His memoirs were written in Yiddish. My mother had them professionally translated for us. What it meant when it was first dedicated, what it means a few decades and a few years later, and how we take it for granted. Me and my life, I was born in 1976. I don't know a world without the state of Israel. I don't know a world without access to Eretz Yisrael. This past year has taught us that. Like Rav Reisman Shlita said at the beginning of the pandemic, the border has closed and we're on the wrong side. But until this, we never knew what it meant to not be able to go to the Kotel. You need a passport, money, and maybe some points. Take, for that matter, the spirit that all of us felt in May of 1948 when the state of Israel was established. Especially in 1960, how many Holocaust survivors there still were. Today there are so few. Do you recall the electric excitement and passionate loyalty that all of us felt? The sense of historic destiny that we were living through a great historic moment. And this was said in 1960, so what should we say today? How difficult a task to re-evoke from within ourselves the same excitement and loyalty today, after 11 or 12 years have gone by. That was in 1960. I remember, I heard Rabbi Dr. J.J. Sechter say this two times, actually. He said that his parents took him and his sister, I heard him once say it live, Shavuos, the Ritziar Chayakala, and once in an audio recording, his parents took him and his sister to Eretz Yisrael in the aftermath of the Six-Day War that summer. He said the feeling in Eretz Yisrael that summer was so euphoric. He said, if you would have asked me to put my hand on a Sefer Torah and an open Aron Kodesh and swear that Mashiach is coming, I would have taken an oath on the Torah that Mashiach is coming. He said, that's how it felt after the miraculous Six-Day War. He said, we thought Mashiach was coming. And now, a few decades later, Baruch Hashem, but we do take it for granted. So, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, lahachazir atara liyoshneha, to restore the crown of Torah to its former eminence, to restore the excitement to that bar mitzvah boy who's no longer a bar mitzvah boy, how he felt when he had his first aliyah, how he felt when he first put on his tefillin, to restore the spark and excitement to the marriage after so many decades, to restore our appreciation for Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, after so many years, to rededicate ourselves to God when we have been broken, is a far more demanding task. And therefore, when we can do it, it's far more rewarding than fashioning it in the first place. Don't worry, I'm not reading you the whole essay. When engaging upon a new campaign, you're assured of idealism. You're all idealistic. It's a new campaign. What you need for a new campaign is realism. Too much idealism is not good. You need idealism for the new campaign, which you already have balanced out by realism. We can really make this happen. Your spirit is provided for. You already have the spirit. You must remind the participants in the new campaign, not of the necessity for inspiration, because they automatically feel inspired and driven and they want to proceed. But you remind them, we need to be practical. Our heads can't only be in the clouds. We need to practically bring this to fruition. When, however, you are engaged in restoring something old, or in a second attempt in rebuilding ourselves after sin, and there's the Yetzer Hara, and there's the darkness, and it's just so easy to give in to him. And we need to rebuild, restore, re-clean what has been defiled. And you know well enough the practical difficulties. And you must emphasize the romantic element, the nobility, the loftiness of the project. The first building, the first time we build, the spirit is there, the idealism is there. You need realism and practicality. The second time, the realism is there, the practicality is there. That's when you need the inspiration and the spirituality. Hanukkah. And I was even thinking when I was preparing the shiur, the difference between lighting on the first and the second night, and the feeling in the home, and the feeling of the children, and the feeling on the light of lighting on the seventh and the eighth night. Hanukkah, the holiday of rededication, Hanukkah. Chanukah Tabayis, they literally had a Chanukah Tabayis. Thus requires an emphasis, not on the need to be practical, that's not the emphasis of Chanukah, but the need of being spirited, enthusiastic, that's Chanukah, to be spirited, to tap into your neshama, to be enthusiastic about your Avodas Hashem. Like the Maccabim, where they didn't say, oh, the Beis HaMikdash, you know, it's been around for a few hundred years already, so like, fine, we already heard about this, it's old news, who's interested? Chanukah represents not the need to be practical, but the need to be spirited, enthusiastic, and filled with zeal, if anything. In the enterprise of rededicating and rebuilding, people are often too practical. Think back to the bar mitzvah, practical, okay, I have to put on the tefillin. The marriage, practically, what could we do? State of Israel, practically, how can we get there? Because they are over-acquainted with the very real practical difficulties, and that danger of being too practical, over-involved with the mundane details, keeps one from submitting to the grasp of inspiration. We become so bogged down by the realities of life, by the difficulties. Yes, life is difficult. We become so used to the way it is that it's very, very hard to rededicate ourselves to rebuilding what has been lost. And that's the goddess of Chanukah, that they were inspired to rebuild. And that's perhaps the message that we should take as Chanukah goes out. Sonam Rebbe says, just like Shabbos illuminates the week, the Chanukah Licht illuminates the whole year, if you let it. Let us stop using our eyes for ourselves and use them for God. Let us stop using our ears for the schmutz of this world and use them for the Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, for complimenting people, for positive conversations, for uplifting Divrei Torah, for kosher music. At the close of this festival of Chanukah, I've skipped a lot on this essay. If anyone has to say for them, quoting from, it's called Festivals of Faith, if you want to read the whole thing for yourself. Festivals of Faith, Reflections on the Jewish Holiday. It's put out by OU Press and Yeshiva University. Page 174 through 178. I did not redo the whole essay. At the close of the festival of Chanukah, and I could think of nothing more appropriate because we are Lamaisa. At the close of the festival of Chanukah, we re-emphasize for our day and our time. And if you said this in 1960, what should we say today with the advent of technology and how the things that our eyes can see and ears can hear surpass what they could have ever imagined in 1960? Not in a positive way. At the close of the festival of Chanukah, we re-emphasize for our day and our era what the Maccabim re-emphasized for their day and their era. What must we re-emphasize? What must we rebuild? What must we rededicate like the Maccabim? The power of purity. The adventure of faithfulness. The excitement and the thrill of Torah. We recall to our contemporaries the excitement, the suspense of each individual soul, the soul that is about to rescale the slopes of the spirit. Rescale the slopes. You fell off the mountain, you could get back on. The soul that is ready to ascend the summit of Sinai, where our ancestors stood and said amen to the voice of the Lord as it issued from the smoky mists. Think of the child in the Chumash play. how excited that first or second grader is with their crayon and their songs. Remember the days before COVID? And all the parents and the grandparents went, and it was so exciting to get to Chumash. And then a few years later, the kids come play Chumash homework, and I'm so tired, and what does the Mora think, and I don't understand this, and who cares, and the stories aren't exciting anymore because we've learned them 1,000 times. Hanukkah teaches us, don't be bored. Don't give up. Rededicate what has been defiled. Because if the Maccabim could do it against the Yavanim, we can certainly do it against our Yetzer Hara. We too must be prepared to respond with a message of supremacy of the Spirit. Ki lo b'chayel, lo b'koach. Because the rededication, he quotes now from Zechariah, Perek Dalet Pasuk Vav, as he concludes this piece. Ki lo b'chayel, lo b'koach. It's not going to come by mighty armies. It's not going to come by physical strength. Ki im biruchi, amar Hashem Tzavakos. When we find the Spirit of God, and we're willing to use our eyes to see him, and our ears to, it's so beautiful, and our ears to hear him, ki'im biruchi, it won't come with chayil, and it won't come with koach, physical prowess, some physical strength. And that wasn't the goddess of the Maccabim. Yes, they were strong, and yes, Hashem helped them, and yes, they won the war, but they were willing to rededicate what lay in ruins. To build the first time, it's not so hard, because everyone's excited to build the first time. To build the second time, that's greatness. That's courage. Ki lo b'chayo v'lo b'ruchi. No! Ki lo b'chayo v'lo b'koach. Ki im b'ruchi. For not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I end with a story from Rabbi Pesach Kuhn. I have to tell you something. So I think I have like most of the books are Rabbi Pesach Kuhn. Maybe there's 10 up there. I'm not sure. How do I find the stories that I want to tell you? So when I learn through a sefer, see what I do? I take notes. All my sfarim have notes. You know those first few blank pages? I say they're b'shvili nivra ha'olam. They're for me to take notes on the sefer. For example, see, this is the Rabbi Dr. Lamb Sefer. So when I read an insight, I note it in very short form at the page and the insight, so I can go back to it for reference. I can't flip through 500 pages to find it, but if I remember what Sefer it's in, Ba'al Zeh Sojan, try and find it. So I was looking through a number of Rabbi Pesach Kuhn's books because I thought maybe I could find a story to illuminate this point that it takes such great courage to rebuild, but it can be done. If we're willing to allow the Chanukah Lich, says the Nesivos Shalom, to illuminate your life, wherever you are spiritually, and to illuminate your year. So in the third book of Rabbi Pesach Kuhn, Perspectives of the Maggid, in my own index, I said, I think this story is good. And then I went to my kitchen table where I was preparing shir, right next to my desk, and I was reading the story, and in the middle of the story, I almost had chills. I was like, almost couldn't talk. Everyone was just looking at me, because you have to hear why. Listen to this. If you have to, it's going to take me more than a minute and a half. If you have to go, I'm going to finish this year. If you have to go, you could catch the end on the recording, Be'ezrat Hashem. Rabbi Pesach Kuhn says, I would like to tell over a beautiful story. It's from the perspectives of the Maggid. Listen carefully as to why I was really awestruck after reading through the story. In 1980, Rabbi Moshe Faskowitz, Rabbi Baruch Graydon, and Rabbi Avraham Marmerstein of the Lakewood Kollel started the Jewish Learning Experience Outreach Program. They decided to give shirim on various levels in nearby communities, so Rabbi Faskowitz called Rabbi Beryl Rothman of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, to ask if his congregation would be interested in shirim through this Lakewood Kollel Jewish Learning Experience outreach. Rabbi Rothman said yes. He gave Rabbi Faskowitz a list of people who might be interested. The list was not long, so Rabbi Faskowitz asked, were there any Yiddish-speaking men in town? Rabbi Faskowitz thought maybe such a person would be interested in a Gemara shir. This is in 1980, having come from Europe. Rabbi Rothman said there was an older person who everyone knew as Harvey. He spoke Yiddish, but he wasn't a member of any shul. I could call him if you wish, said Rabbi Rothman. I can't promise you he'll show up. Harvey was called. He was told that Rabbi Faskowitz of Lakewood would like to speak with him. He never called back. But on the first night of the classes, people were gathering. Harvey showed up. He approached Rabbi Faskowitz. "You wanted me?" he said in Yiddish. "Yes," said Rabbi Faskowitz. "We're starting a Gemara shir. I thought you might be interested." "Di mechutzef, you ill-mannered person, how dare you call me here to learn Gemara? Since Auschwitz, I hate Yiddishkeit. I never daven, I never make brachos, I don't do mitzvos. Leave me alone. Do not call me again. You have a chutzpah for calling me here." Rabbi Faskowitz was taken aback. "My mother was killed in the ghetto before my eyes. Not only my mother, but the mother of all of my friends. I don't want any connection to God and your type." Harvey spat out his words with disdain. Rabbi Faskowitz said, "Look, just give me some respect. Please don't walk out on me before I start. The other attendees will get a terrible impression. I ask that you please stay for a few minutes for me, and then you can leave. I won't say anything." Harvey thought, and he said, "All right, for a few minutes." Rabbi Faskowitz began with Maseches Pesachim, and after 15 minutes, Harvey got up and left. The next week, the small group sat down to learn. Harvey walked in. He did not take a Gemara. He sat at the table. Rabbi Faskowitz didn't say anything. This time, Harvey sat through the entire shir without participating. He listened and observed. The third week, Harvey had a Maseches Pesachim with him. It looked brand new. Rabbi Faskowitz assumed Harvey went to the effort and expense of buying it. After the shir, Harvey approached Rabbi Faskowitz and said, "Did you ever hear of the town of Pruzhin?" "Of course," said Rabbi Faskowitz. "Rav Elia Pruzhiner was from there." Rav Elia was Rav Moshe's uncle. Rav Elia Feinstein, Rav Elia Pruzhiner was from there. Harvey's face lit up. Rav Elia was a great tzaddik and Talmud Chacham. Everyone loved him. He wrote a sefer, Hilchos Eliyahu. "Halichos Eliyahu," said Rabbi Faskowitz. "Do you have the sefer?" said Harvey. "No, but I will borrow from the yeshiva library. I'll bring it next week." "Thank you," said Harvey. It was obvious to Rabbi Faskowitz that over the 3 weeks of shir, Harvey's demeanor changed. He wasn't angry. Something had softened. The next week, Rabbi Faskowitz showed the sefer of Halichos Eliyahu to Harvey. Harvey took the sefer in his hands. He sat down at the table. He opened it. He stared at the title page, Pruzhin. He began stroking the word. He ran his fingers over the word Pruzhin. Tears welled in his eyes. Harvey began crying. He was weeping uncontrollably. The simple purity of those long-gone days stirred his essence. He became a regular at the shir. He asked Rabbi Faskowitz to call him Yankel. "My mama flecked mir rufen Yankel. My mother would call me Yankel," he said with a pained smile. When I came to the next paragraph, this wasn't in my own index notes. I just wrote, like, I don't remember what I wrote in my notes, that I thought this might be a good story for the shir. Listen to the next sentence. Are you ready? After the seventh weekly shir, Rabbi Faskowitz announced, after next week's shir, which would be on the third night of Chanukah, there would be a festive mesiba gathering for all the attendees and teachers. So when I read, and I did not know this when I picked up the sefer and this story. Oh, all I wrote in my own index notes, so you'll believe me. It says, page 183 through 185, Holocaust survivor came back to Torah and Gemara shir at the end of his life. MC, that's note to myself, Micha Chava, very good for shiurim. So when I read someone came back to Torah, which is really the topic of our shir tonight, because we all need to come back to Torah, that's all I wrote. I didn't say a word about Hanukkah. And then I'm reading the story to prepare for shir, and I read that on the third night of Hanukkah, Rabbi Faskowitz said, we will have a festive mesiba gathering for Hanukkah for all the teachers and attendees. The next week, during the Hanukkah mesiba, Yankel asked Rabbi Faskowitz, could they speak privately? The two went off to the side. "Rabbi," he said, "I lied to you. I said I never go to shul. I said I never daven, and it's not true. I have been going once a year. I don't go on Yom Kippur, but I go on my mother's yahrzeit to say Kaddish. I never told you this," he continued, "but I am very sick. I am dying," said Harvey / Yankel. "I will soon meet my mother in heaven. And I know she will ask me, Nu Yankele, wust hust du getun for mir? So Yankele, what have you done for me?" And I was going to tell her, "Mama, ich hab gesucht Kaddish for dir. I would say Kaddish for you. But I know," he said, "she would tell me, dust is gurnished. Once a year, your Kaddish is nothing. But now after 8 weeks, I will tell her, Mama, for acht wochen hab ich gelernt in far dir a black Gemara. Mother, for 8 weeks for you, I learned a page of Gemara. And I know she will smile and be very happy." And when did that meeting with Harvey Yankel and Rabbi Faskowitz occur? On Chanukah. I couldn't make this up if I tried. Only the Ribbonoshom could coordinate this. A few weeks later, Yanko passed away. Because Hanukkah is not only the rededication of the temple by the Maccabim, we have to rededicate ourselves. And we can. And we can chase away the Yetzer HaRa. If we let the Hanukkah lecht into our lives, our homes, our neshamos, let us stop using Einayim Lahem and Oznayim Lahem so we can see and hear God. And we can all be those Chozrim B'tshuva who are not only excited to get the Chumash when we're in first grade and the Tefillin when we're 13 and stand under the Chuppah and go to Eretz Yisrael the first time. Think of the first time we went to Eretz Yisrael. But the Torah and Yehalos will always be new and always be exciting, even when we are rebuilding that which has been defiled. It's something we should think about as Hanukkah is on its way out. I wish you a very meaningful end of Hanukkah, a Gittin Chodesh to all, a wonderful Shabbos. May the neshama of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Shalom, merit a continuous aliyah in the schos of the Torah we share this evening. I went a little bit over time. I thank you for your patience and for learning with me. Kol tov, everybody.